We started the project with the best of intentions. We wanted to build a beacon, a signal fire to announce to the universe that we're here, that we're searching, and we, in turn, hoped to be found. Construction on the Terrestrial Orbit Relay Communication Hub, or TORCH, began nearly a decade ago. The relay was built in secret with a small team and launched quietly once complete. So we wanted to avoid the controversy that we'd seen with new technology like the Large Hadron Collider, and honestly, we didn't have the highest hopes for success. TORCH was something new, an orbital satellite that emitted a constant signal across thousands of different spectrums, all imperceptible to humans, powered by an experimental generator that promised greater range to our beacon than anything we'd tried before. Still, it's a big universe out there. Myself and the rest of the team didn't expect any return on our investment, at least not for several generations. So we kept quiet about TORCH, launching into orbit during routine tests of my company's latest rocket model. I have to admit, it felt good to have a secret from the rest of the world. You know, the TORCH was up there, rotating above us, a light in the darkness, a tolled bell we couldn't hear, but others might. TORCH was in orbit for less than 3 years, before we heard the first rumors about the Red Star. My company had a friendly rivalry with NASA, so we joked that they're the old guard, hands tied by politics and budgets, but sometimes still beat us to the punch. I used to work at NASA myself until the siren song of a thriving private sector pulled me away. I kept in touch with some of the former team, meeting every now and then for a beer or a game of darts. Our only rule was no shop talk, so I knew something was wrong when Benny asked me about work.
"Hey, you noticed anything out of the ordinary?" he asked me,
long fingers tapping on the table next to his untouched drink. It was just the two of us meeting for a beer. I had been rambling on about the difficulties of trying to build a chicken coop in our backyard since we arrived at the bar, and I hadn't noticed his distracted expression. "Define out of the ordinary?" I replied after a moment. The room was nearly empty. Not too much traffic after 4 p.m. in a dive bar, but Benny still leaned in close, voice dropped to a whisper.
"There's something out at the edge of our vision, our equipment. It's inconsistent. They're 1 hour, gone the next. Never in the same place twice. A tangled mire of electromagnetic interference, white noise that we can't..."
Benny clenched his hand in frustration.
"We just can't."
I took a drink, finishing my beer, trying to process what I was hearing. "You say this, whatever it is moving?" I asked.
"Constantly."
Benny looked at me, directly in the eye for the first time since we sat down. There was fear written onto his face, primal terror of the first man who heard thunder and didn't know what it meant.
I think whatever it is, it's coming towards us," he said.
I promised Benny that I'd keep an eye out and let him know if we found anything. But that night, lying awake in bed, I kept telling myself that he was getting worked up over nothing. It's most likely an equipment malfunction. I mean, Lord knows, the only thing holding NASA together these days are elbow grease and red tape. As I drifted off to sleep, I couldn't help but wonder if Benny was right, though. My last waking thoughts were of TORCH, floating above the world in its widening gyre, slouching from horizon to horizon. The machine was both beacon and bell, candle and horn, shouting humanity's existence into the empty dark. But what if the dark wasn't so empty? What if the dark saw the little flame we shot in the sky? What if the dark was curious? I couldn't tell if I was more afraid or excited. The first public rumors of a new star in the sky, scarlet and bright, came in less than 48 hours after my beer with Benny. Didn't take long for reports of the Red Star to pour into my company. According to witnesses, the star would shift around the sky, not just each night, but every few minutes, Some people claimed to see it clear and sharp, while others said that it was barely a crimson smudge in the sky. We detected occasional blips in our sensors, like flashes of polar lights, but nothing concrete. The star, for us, remained a phantom. It took a lot of money and favors being called in to keep the reports from the news. We needed more time to investigate before the story broke. If it was nothing, if the red star was some hoax or mass hallucination or natural phenomena, then Torch would stay a secret. But if this really was first contact, our logistics team was already working on plans for the parade, and our CEO was on at least the third draft of his Nobel Peace Prize acceptance speech. We kept searching, electronically and by telescope, for any signs of the red star on the fifth night after my meeting with Benny. I saw the star with my own eyes. The work was rough that day. More unverified star sightings, but something else. There were new stories of hysteria, even violence, from some who claimed that they saw the red star. There was an unsettling account of a man taking his family onto their roof so they could see the star just as he had the night before. And when his wife and kids tried to go to bed, the man reportedly tied them up in chains and staked the chains into the roof. When his family became tired and their eyes began to close, the man removed their eyelids with an X-Acto knife. At least that's what we heard. But it seemed like an urban legend to me. Bullshit or not, I couldn't stop thinking about the family on the roof, bodies chained, eyes open, as I waited in my backyard looking up at the sky. I was out there for hours with my telescope. One of the best personal models money could buy. The sky was beginning to turn lavender with the first light before I finally pulled away and sat back. I blinked, tired, glanced up, and there it was. Razor red, bright, right above Ursa Major. I froze. You ever been caught in a riptide? You know, it's a horrible feeling. The dragging inevitability of an invisible force pulling you away from shore into deep water. That's how I felt staring up at the red star. There was a tugging sensation that lasted for what felt like hours, and then a terrible snap sound. Suddenly, the star was growing larger, closer, brighter. I realized with growing horror that I was moving towards the star. As my perspective rapidly approached the object, I began to make out details. I could see the exterior of the star. It was difficult to gauge the scope of the thing, but I pegged it as either a small planet or a massive asteroid, and the surface was a dark maroon beneath the crimson light. It was pockmarked and pitted, scarred and crumpling like rotten wood. Ugly brown tendrils crisscrossed the planet. I thought of congealed veins on a dead leg or worms on the sidewalk after a rainstorm. I tried to stop, but I couldn't break the riptide. Closer and closer, I could see the thing's holes and cuts in the surface. They were all deep. I was drawn into one of the pits, and I felt myself stop above the deep dark. And then the pit opened, and I realized it was an eyelid. I stared down into a human eye the size of a city. Bright blue and intelligent, the eye blinked and focused on me, and I saw it. I saw it was sharp and clear, and I knew without a doubt that it saw me. And I knew it hated me. The raw malice crushed me, and the terror was beyond enough to break the pull of the star. I felt extraordinary vertigo, then falling, and I blacked out. When I awoke, I was back on Earth. The bathroom of my house. I had no recollection of leaving my backyard. The sun shone clear and autumn warm through the window behind me, and for a moment I convinced myself the red star was the worst nightmare I'd ever experienced. And then I felt something move my head until I was looking in the mirror, and I felt something blink my eyes, and when I opened, my green eyes were gone. Replaced with cobalt blue, something smiled with my mouth. I screamed. I ripped myself away from the mirror. I fell. I struck my head, and I was out again. That was earlier today. When I woke up, I kept my eyes closed, and I crawled into my bedroom. It must have taken me over an hour to to open, then even longer to fumble towards my buzzing phone, and there was a dozen missed calls, even more texts. Calls from Benny, from work, from other members of the Torch team. The texts told a story. Reports of the Red Star sightings jumped exponentially the night before, as did unconfirmed rumors of violence and disturbing activity amongst those who saw the star. We wouldn't be able to keep the story from the news much longer. My boss wanted all hands on deck. He still saw this as a golden opportunity for us to reveal Torch to the world, to claim credit for finding signs of life out in the stars, for welcoming that life to our doorstep. Something in me shifted. Something was getting comfortable. I felt sick, violated, and strangely claustrophobic. I had a passenger. I don't know how much longer it'll be with me. Already I hear whispers, thoughts in my head that I'm not sure are my own. They certainly... The only certainty that I have is that I have to shut down Torch. I mean, maybe it's too late. Maybe it's too late, but I can stop Torch from sending its signal. And if I kill that beacon, then maybe the star will lose track of us. Humanity can crawl back into the dark cave and hide and wait until the Predator passes by. In the old stories, fire was a protector. Light kept the monster away, but in reality, I think the light just got their attention. I'm bloating this record in case I fail. I mean, even if I succeed, I think I'm already gone. I'm sorry. We started with the best of intention. And if I can't shut off Torch, if the Red Star is already too close, you'll know soon enough. It'll be on the news. It'll be all of the news. Be careful. Stay inside. Particularly at night. Go underground if you can. Whatever's coming, try to wait it out. And should you find yourself outside at night for any reason, keep your eyes down and keep your guard up. If you see someone standing perfectly still, staring up into the starry sky, run. Because if they notice you, if we catch you, I will make you look